Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 27th of December. I'm your host, Paul White. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is Friday, and I am not doing a long-form Friday this week. We will do one next week from our trip to Minneapolis. I'll tell you about it late next week. Heads up coming up this weekend. I like to, when I can, give you a heads up of the long, regular sermon airing on our website, Facebook, YouTube, etc. on Sundays. We do that every Sunday. From the road, we air sermons. We're moving out of sequential order for the next month or so, so that we don't give you a month and a half worth of audio only. I like to pepper in video. I got a lot of people that want to see the sermon as well as hear it. So we're moving out of order because I have a bunch of audio only. Last week, we aired for you an audio only from Texas, the demonstration of his righteousness. This Sunday, video and audio from Opelika First Assembly of God, Opelika, Alabama. That's in the Auburn, Alabama area. We were with Scott Bryant and the good people there on a Friday night in early December, and we will present that sermon for you on Sunday titled, The Friend of God. It starts in Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesies that or talks about God having a servant named Jacob and a friend named Abraham. And then in the New Testament to the disciples in the book of John, Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore, but friends. He's taking them past the identity of an Israel servant and into the identity of Abraham, friend of God. And we look at what the servant mentality constitutes under the old covenant versus the friend of God, and then culminate it in one more step, which is from friends to sons. I think this is a message you will enjoy and one that you might want to pass along to someone who's struggling to understand the new covenant. Give it a listen on Sunday mornings. We put that, it's always up in the middle of the night, sometime early Sunday morning. But it'll be there when you wake up Sunday on all of our platforms, paulwhiteministries.com, Paul White Ministries Facebook page, and please go to YouTube and subscribe at PWM. 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. It's a bit pretentious in verse 8 for Paul to believe himself to be an apostle born out of due time. The humility shows itself in verse 9 when he says, "If you know, I am the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church of God." And it's one of the few times Paul delves into the negative side of his past as far as being the persecutor. He does at one point refer to himself as the chiefest of sinners, and I think that has to do with the fact that he carries with him the idea of what he did. Paul probably, like the rest of us, from time to time struggles to lay the old man down. I don't mean he's fighting it, but I mean maybe sometimes struggles to lay down the identity of that old man. He does to the Philippians say he counts who he used to be as dung, but the fact that he's talking about it and writing about it tells us that it might not be counted as dung as easily as he makes it sound. That probably it's a little harder to let go than sometimes we put on. And that's okay. If you're struggling to let go of the past and who you used to be, you're not alone. In fact, there's never been a believer that hasn't struggled in one way or the other to let go of what they used to be. That is the grave clothes removal. That is us having those old things taken away. The old is gone in that we're no longer identified by the old Adam. But we do have the mindsets of the old Adam. And we do have the memories of the old Adam. And you might think, wouldn't it be better if God wiped our memory clean? But the reality is you would cease to be human and you would turn into an instinctual animal. You'd move only on instinct. Humans need memory. We need our past. With all of its pain, there comes a lot of its pleasure. All the areas that we've went through issue creates the opportunities that we have. I did a message in our John series just a couple of weeks ago, actually a week and a half ago when we did Lesson 69. If you haven't watched the studies in John, I would recommend it. But if you haven't seen any of them, go search Studies in John number 69. The title was, What Doesn't Kill You? And of course, the phrase, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, is what immediately comes to mind. And we deal with that in the first part of that lesson. But there's a lot of truth to it. The reason why it seems so relevant is because there's truth to it. We know that if we don't die, we should be able to take what didn't kill us and make our tomorrow better. And that's part of the human existence. That's part of the human experience. So before you look at your past and think, oh, if I just didn't have to drag that with me, realize you don't have to drag the shame. You don't have to drag the guilt. You don't have to drag the regret. You should let those go. Christ has given you a new identity. But you don't really want to lose the memory, because the memory teaches you something about yourself. And it continues to teach you. It's not just a one-time lesson. It's continual learning. It's taking who you used to be and helping it shape who you are so that you can become who you know you could be. And again, I'm not talking about becoming more righteous. You can't become more righteous than you are. That's a done deal. This is a finished work, but you live in an unfinished life. And as long as you live in an unfinished life, there's going to be parts of your experience that are unfinished. And so in actuality, it's a finished work. In your reality, and you're walking it out, it's an unfinished reality. So don't drag the unnecessary, but don't believe that there's something wrong with you if you keep the recognition of who you used to be. That recognition is not identity. Mark the difference between what I used to be as my identity and who I am as my identity, because they're different things. So Paul says, I persecuted the church of God, 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. And I'll read the rest of that verse tomorrow. Let me say this. I want to set tomorrow up with these a couple thoughts, and then we'll dive in a little deeper tomorrow. Paul realizes that he probably doesn't deserve anything. He's persecuted the church in his past. However, he knows that what he is isn't because he got smarter, isn't because he got better, isn't because he does things superior to the other apostles. He is what he is because God's a gracious God. If God were not great, this is Paul, I think this is the way of saying this for Paul. If God were not gracious, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I'm a walking, talking example of the grace of God, because without the grace of God, there is no possible way that I could be considered an apostle. I've done nothing worthy of being called an apostle. Think about how much that defines you today. There's your homework. How much of what you are now is because of the grace of God? Tomorrow we'll dig into what that grace does. I'll see you then. God bless.